الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إلى أن قال وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama-i kiram, elders, dear brothers in Islam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept the answer to every problem that mankind would face till the day of Qiyamah in the Quran. Whether it is a problem that is an individual problem, whether it is a collective problem, whether it is a small problem, whether it is a big problem, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept the answer and the solution to those problems in the Quran itself. That is why it is our iman and aqidah that the Quran is fresh today, 1400 years after its revelation, just as it was when it was revealed upon Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That same Quran in its glory and freshness will provide us the answers that it provided 1400 years ago and throughout the centuries of Islam. And right till the day of Qiyamah, this one kitab is sufficient to answer all the questions that mankind has. It is sufficient to give guidance for all the problems that mankind is faced with. Respected elders and dear brothers, when we study the halat and the conditions of the world around us today, we find there is one phenomena that is increasing and growing all the time. As time goes by, in the recent past, the last few decades, we find that this thing is growing in leaps and bounds, in great proportions. In all parts of the world, this phenomena is growing in intensity. The phenomenon that I am referring to here is the hatred and the enmity for Muslims throughout the world. It is on the increase. To this end, we find that every possible agency is being utilized to achieve this goal of creating hatred, suspicion, enmity in the hearts of the masses of the world against the Muslims. If we take the media, we look at the media, every possible form of the media is being utilized to this end. Whether it is media in a printed form, like newspapers, newspaper articles, magazines, Reader's Digest, all kinds of magazines, or whether it is media in its electronic form, in the form of internet, in the form of radio programs, in the form of other electronic media, we find that this is gaining great momentum throughout the world. In the form of movies, for example, recently a number of movies have been produced to try and paint a very poor and bad picture of Muslims in all parts of the world. The image is being created in the minds of the people in a very cunning fashion, using a lot of psychology, subtle indoctrination, to create this image and impression that Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are bad, Muslims are cruel, Muslims are heartless, Muslims are bloodthirsty, Muslims are, and they are in fact a curse on society, and that Muslims have no contribution to make to the world. In fact, their existence is a problem for the world, and the elimination of Muslims will remove the problems of the world. This type of message is being sent all the time, and we find this hostility is increasing. In our own country, we find that day by day this hostility towards Muslims is increasing. For example, in the Cape, the situation has reached such a proportion that if a person appears as a Muslim, he is dressed in his Islamic garb, there are certain areas that will single out a Muslim for prevention of entry into certain areas. A Muslim will be humiliated by being searched and singled out in relation to every other person just by view of the fact that such a person is a Muslim and he is identified as a Muslim. When a person travels overseas, we find at the major airports of the world also, there is this great amount of suspicion with regard to Muslims, especially when a person appears to be a Muslim. They seem to give extra precaution when handling a Muslim, and one can see the open hostility towards a Muslim in all the major airports of the world, and in fact internationally this is a growing phenomenon. What we see happening in the world today, in Kosovo, Bosnia, what happened, and Iraq, Eritrea, Sudan, Kashmir, the various parts of the world, the atrocities that are being committed against Muslims is once more a manifestation of this latent hatred that lurks in the hearts of these people against Islam and Muslims. But what we find very surprising is most people find this an unacceptable situation. People become astounded and surprised that why are the kuffar of the world reacting in this way towards Muslims. Dear friends, we should understand without a shadow of doubt in our minds that when a person refuses to acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not believe in the kitab of Allah, he does not accept the final messenger of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then such a person, one cannot expect any kind of friendship from such a person. And the Quran has many a places. This is due to our ignorance of our deen and due to our ignorance of our own Islamic history, where time and again it has been proven that these people who are not believers, who are kuffar, they will never ever be the friends of Muslims. And Muslims cannot expect anything from them but hatred and enmity. It is something to be expected. It is not something to be astounded or surprised about. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at various places mentions, for example, one ayat in the fourth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in this ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum la ya'lunakum khabala, waddu ma anittum, qad badatil baghdau min afwahihim, wa ma tukhfi suduruhum akbar, qad bayyanna lakumul ayati la'allakum ta'aqilun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gist of this ayat is, do not take anyone besides your own kind as your advisors, as your confidants, because they desire that which must cause harm unto you. It makes them happy, it gives them glee, it gives them happiness, it gives them joy to see Muslims suffering, to torture Muslims, to torment Muslims, to put Muslims through hardship and difficulty is something which they take joy in. They take pride in, they enjoy it, it is an enjoyable experience for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in this ayat of the Quran. Further on Allah says, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Their hatred for you is manifest in the statements that they made with regard to you. Their words, their utterances. For example, one very high ranking official in the US was asked a question that, aren't you ashamed of the 750,000 Muslim babies that have starved to death in Iraq because of the cruel sanctions that you have applied, that you're not even allowing baby food to go in. Those infants, innocent children, innocent lives that harmed you in no way. You people were instrumental in taking the lives of 750,000 innocent babies. Does it not hurt your conscience, or does it not make you think? The answer that was given was, well, it was something that wasn't good, but we feel it was worth what we had done. It was worth what we had done. It was worth it. So this is, these statements, the Quran says, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Hatred has come forth from their mouths. They have spewed this hatred out from their mouths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. What they hide in their hearts is even bigger than that. It is even worse than what they make the utterances with the tongue. So this is something which we have to accept, which we have to, it is a reality, it is a haqiqat, it is a fact, we can't run away from it. And we will be the greatest fools to believe that the kuffar have sympathy for us, or they will assist us, or they will be kind to us in any way. Because today we find people being misled and duped with the situation in the parts of the world. For example, people say, we find NATO bombing the Serbs. Remember, in that itself, there is something, some matlab, some hidden agenda behind that itself. It is not done out of sympathy or out of kindness or benevolence towards the Muslims. There is some other hidden motive behind this whole thing. So dear friends, the bottom line is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us in the Quran Sharif at many, many places that do not expect the kuffar to be your friends. Do not expect them to treat you kindly when you are on the receiving end. The very fact, if we go into the history of Islam and we look at the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that when they did not leave Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in peace, despite the fact that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah had given him such a hidden power, such a hidden power, that Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentions, Nusirtu birrab masirata shahrin. Allah has given me an awe, a kind of spiritual awe. That awe is such that it still instills fear in the hearts of the kuffar, even if they live to an extent of 1 month away from Medina, in terms of traveling. The travel of that time of 1 month was possibly a few hundred kilometers away. A few hundred kilometers around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him this divine gift, this divine weapon, that he had this awe in him, he had this rob with him. This rob was such a thing that it kept the kuffar at bay. Despite that fact, we find they did not leave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram, the highest group of awliya that this ummah has ever witnessed, they did not leave them in peace. And we find that repeated attacks were made upon Medina Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions had to go out and defend the city of Medina Munawwara on many, many occasions. When one occasion, he had hardly finished one battle against the kuffar, just got back home. Imagine, a person goes for some ijtima and he comes back home. He is absolutely tired and exhausted. He needs to take a rest for a whole day. Or he goes out anywhere for some dini gathering, he comes back, he's tired. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from jihad. Can you imagine what an exhaustion it must have been? How much a person becomes drained to see the loss of life, etc., loss of limbs. He just got back. He had hardly taken off his armor when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and told him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not remove your armor. There are other people waiting for you on the other side. Other enemies are intending to attack. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered and instructed that you must go now in the other direction. So when they did not leave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam alone, then dear friends, we cannot sit back complacently and expect that the kuffar of the world are going to be very happy with our iman, they're going to be happy with our deen, and they will leave us in peace. It is something that is expected in all parts of the world. This what we are seeing happening in Kosovo, for example, it is the latest and fresh example of how the kuffar react to those people who accept and bring iman. Now we find, as I mentioned earlier on, that in the Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is a mirror of the conditions of every zamana and age that the ummah will face. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a mirror image of what is happening in that part of the world, where if we look at the verses of Surah Buruj, which is in the 30th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in Surah Buruj, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَالشَّاهِدِ وَمَشْهُودِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes four oaths in this surah of the Holy Quran. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to take a qasam or an oath. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most truthful in speech. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah in speech? Only that person takes an oath in his speech where there is a possibility of a person speaking or telling a lie in order to remove any shadow of doubt that a lie is being spoken, a person strengthens and he reinforces his statement with a qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of that. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever many a place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it on oath. The idea is to emphasize the importance of the message that is going to follow after that. That ponder and think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of taking an oath. Yet Allah is taking a qasam. It is something very, very important Allah ta'ala wants to draw our attention to. Therefore we find Allah taking an oath and saying on qasam a certain thing. This is why we find Allah takes not just one qasam, but there are four oaths Allah ta'ala takes in this surah of the Holy Quran. I don't have time to go into the details of each one of these qasams, but the main thing is what follows after this. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to an incident that took place before the advent of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 70 years before the advent of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the country of Yemen. There was a tyrant ruler who claimed Godhead for himself, and he did not allow the people to accept the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used every oppressive method to prevent the people from accepting Iman. But through a miraculous event, I can't go into the details, one young boy by the name of Abdullah bin Tamir, rahmatullahi alayh, who through miraculous deeds that Allah Ta'ala granted him, he was eventually assassinated by the king on his own scheme that he had laid out. And before he was assassinated in front of the entire public of that country, he took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he introduced the message of Tawheed and he gave them da'wah towards Tawheed and the oneness of Allah ta'ala. The boy himself became shaheed. He gave his life for the sake of the acceptance of the Iman of the entire population of that country. When they saw this miraculous deed, that this boy who could not be killed by any other means except when the name of Allah was taken, the entire population accepted Islam, and this actually went against the designs of the king. So with his army and his henchmen, they dug up great trenches, and in the trenches they filled it with fuel, and they lighted fires, and they took all those who believed and who were mu'mineen, and they took them and they threw them into the fire. For the mere reason that they accepted Iman, and they accepted La ilaha illallah, for that reason they were thrown into that fire in this fashion. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining in these verses of Surah Buruj. That Qutila ashabul ukhdud, cursed be the people of ukhdud, the people who dug the trenches and who filled those trenches with fire in order, and izhum alayha qu'ud, they sat at those trenches watching those Muslims and mu'mins who had brought Iman being tortured in that fire and thrown alive into that burning fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on further to explain, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. The only reason that they had enmity and hatred for these people was one reason. No other reason. For one reason they had enmity for these people, and they tortured and punished them in this cruel manner, in this barbaric fashion, was merely on one basis. And that is what Allah explains in this ayat of the Holy Quran, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. They did not torture them except for the fact that these people accepted the oneness of Allah. They accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They brought Iman on Allah. For the sake of accepting Iman on Allah, That is the reason why they were tortured in this fashion, dear friends. So today this is happening all over the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a message in this ayat of the Holy Quran, that the kuffar, their hatred for you is merely on one basis. It is on the basis of your kalima la ilaha illallah. If you are prepared to forego your kalima la ilaha illallah, there will be no problem with you at all. And the kuffar will stop their hatred and enmity for you if you give up your conviction of la ilaha illallah. But so long as you have your conviction of la ilaha illallah, so long as you believe in your la ilaha illallah and you practice on your la ilaha illallah, then you must expect the enmity of the people of the world. The kuffar of the world will not leave you in peace. They will not let you rest. They will not leave you at peace. They will not leave you until and unless you are going to be locked in confrontation with them. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's madad, His help and His assistance will come to those people who are true believers. So dear friends, this scenario that we see happening in the world is not something that should surprise us. In fact, we should be surprised that until now these things were not happening. But the fact that it is happening, it is a reality that has been mentioned in the Quran itself. But this, of course, does not mean at any time that, oh well, if this is the situation, we must sit back and expect this type of thing, and we must just take it the way it is. No, dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Quran that you will gain my help, you will gain my assistance. The nusrat of Allah ta'ala, the help of Allah ta'ala is guaranteed for the believers. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah ta'ala says, it is compulsory upon us to come to the aid and the assistance of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us at another place in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ You do not need to become weak. You do not need to become afraid. You do not need to become despondent. You do not need to lose hope. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ You will be victorious eventually, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you have within you the quality of iman. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning at various other places how His help and assistance had come to the people of the past. Nasrum min Allahi wa fathun qareeb. The help of Allah will come. Victory is close by, victory is nearby. But remember one more thing, dear friends. This is what we tend to forget. Once I was speaking to a friend when the Bosnia crisis was on. He says, but Maulana, we're making so much of dua. Why isn't Allah Pak helping the Muslims? In other words, there was a kind of a doubt that was starting to creep into his iman. I told him, dear friend, you have misunderstood. The help of Allah Ta'ala is there like it was at the time of Badr. The same help of Allah is there like it was at the time of Khandaq. And every other battle that took place. But the reason why the help of Allah is not coming now, we have not met the condition of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the help and the assistance of Allah ta'ala is conditional. There are conditions attached for the nusrat and the help of Allah ta'ala to come. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only come when those conditions are met, dear friends. What is the condition? The basic bottom line condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts for His help and assistance to come. That is what we find in the Quran mentioned so many times. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurkum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. O people of iman, if you help Allah, then Allah will help you, and Allah will plant your feet firm against your enemies. Then Allah will help you to overcome and vanquish your enemies, if you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one clarity on this before I complete. A person might ask, what help does Allah need? We can't help Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the one who helps us. Allah is Nasir. Allah is the one who is the helper. What help can we render unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ulama have explained, the mufassireen, commentators of the Quran have explained, helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the physical sense that Allah needs our help, ma'ad Allah. But to help the deen of Allah, and to help the cause of Allah, that is actually rendering help unto the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you help the deen of Allah, then you will gain the help of Allah ta'ala. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us through a question that, إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah helps you, none will overpower you. وَإِيَغْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي Let us close this bayan on this question, dear friends. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves you, who will help you besides Allah? وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Let us memorize this ayat if we can. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. If Allah leaves you, Allah withdraws His help, who will help you besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we need to gain the help of Allah. To gain the help of Allah, we need the deen of Allah. We need to support the deen of Allah. We need to help the deen of Allah. Then we will gain the help of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhru da'wah.